Thank you, Rabbi Matenki. Rishus the Rabbanim, who I mentioned previously, Rabbi Reis, Rabbi Samber. So everybody here knows that I have the opportunity and the blessing to teach Torah and to share Torah with so many of you on a regular basis, but this morning is different and it's special and it's unique. Someone told me a special story that about the Gaon Letzadik, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Lebracha, that apparently when Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein was born, so Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Lebracha, his father-in-law, spoke at the Bris, and he continued to emphasize Ki bi Yitzchak Ikari L'cha Zara, that Rav Aaron, Zichrono Lebracha, should be reminded Ki bi Yitzchak, as the pasuk says, Ki bi Yitzchak Ikari L'cha Zara, that his son, who was named Yitzchak, should be his son. And apparently afterwards, Rav Lichtenstein noted that he thought that the Rav was trying to communicate something to him. That as much as he was going to teach, and already at that point, Rav Aaron Zichrono Lebracha had become a master teacher and a great giant of the generation all those years ago, he needed to understand that at the end of the day, Ki bi Yitzchak Ikari L'cha Zara, that our first and foremost, our priority needs to be our children. So I would say, as much as Rabbi Matenki and Margaret are running so many different things for the Tzibur and involved in so much for the Tzibur here in Chicago, but even beyond in the world, at the end of the day, Ki bi Yitzchak Ikari L'cha Zara, I would say they would probably tell you, as their Shabbos table will indicate, that their most important role is their role as parents in their family. And so to be a part of this family experience is incredibly meaningful to me. Obviously, we love to learn Torah together, but to learn Torah in the context of a special family occasion of the Matenkis, and we take note of the fact that your mother is not here this morning, so we wish her our best and for better occasions, Amir Tzashem. So I thank them for including me. And she's great. She didn't go to China or anything. She's good. She's at an unveiling. This morning I want to focus together on a very important topic that we're going to experience over the coming weeks. This is beginning this Motzei Shabbos. The period begins for us Ashkenazim, for many of us in this room Ashkenazim, this Saturday night. For Sfardim already began weeks ago, Rosh Chodesh El, probably 2.5 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago. And that is the topic I want to speak about, Slichas. I want to learn together with you about an important question. Here's the halakhic question, and we're going to spend the time that we have understanding and appreciating the mystery of how we get to the answer of this question. So it's not just about what the answer is, but it's what does it mean to us. So the question goes like this. There are some of us in this room who travel on occasion. Some of us don't attend shul during the week, you know, men or women. Some of us, let's say, once in a while, we don't make it to a minyan where they're saying slichas. Now, there are different practices about slichas. Here in Chicago, you have people who say slichas in the morning, like early in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. You have people do slichas before shachris, like on the 8 o'clock end. Then you have people do the 9:30, a lot of different minhagim. But let's say you don't get to slichas at all. You're in a place or your home, and you're not able to say slichas with the shul, with the minyan. So what should you do? You know that slichas are a very significant part of the experience of the Yom Ha'Noraim. In fact, if you look carefully, I don't know if there's anybody in Chicago who does this, but Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Levracha, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik pointed out that if you look carefully in the Machzor, in some of the Machzorim on the Yom Kippur, they say, Kan Omrim Slichos. Here you say slichos in all the tefillos. Rabbi Belinsky is nodding. You do it. So Rav Soloveitchik said, actually, slichos is so integral to the period of Yom HaNoraim, so that, let's say, the Sfardim start with Elul, and we start 4 days at least before Rosh Hashanah, then Aseres Meitshuva. If you look carefully in the Rambam, it sounds like the Rambam thinks that Ben Kesel Aser is the period of slichos. But Yom Kippur, it's all slichos all the time. And that's why even if you don't say slichos, maybe pay attention. You never noticed it. I never noticed it until I was in YU, that in the Machzorim, at some point in Chasaras HaShatz, you just say Zechor Bris, which is the conclusion of Slichos, before you say Vidui. The thing is, Rav Soloveitchik says, you just forgot to say Slichos, so the printers took it out because people got tired of it. But the Rav pointed out, it says, that's really a big part of the Yom Kippur davening, is Slichos. So in YU, and I think of the Maimonides minyan, they say Slichos at every tefillah. Mariv, Shachris, yeah?
I think Sfardim do also.
Sfardim do it also?
I think so.
Because The slichos are a huge component. The question is, how do we understand the slichos, and what happens if a person can't get to shul? What do they do about slichos? So understand this, we need to go back to the source. What's the makor? Where does it begin that we have an experience of amir slichos, the recitation of slichos? So if you look at source number one, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us the following. Vayavra Hashem al pana vayikra. This is the story of the reconciliation after the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu meets the Ribbono Shel Olam and he teaches him Am Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to look at this story carefully because this is going to be the key. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Il Mole Mikra Kasuv, had the Torah not taught it to us, Efshar LaOmro. You can't say what I'm about to say. What I'm about to teach you says the Halakha of Rabbi Yochanan. You know, Rabbi Yochanan was one of the greatest of the sages of the Talmud. Almost every case where Rabbi Yochanan gets involved in a debate, he is the primary psak. So he says, I'm going to tell you something that I wouldn't have the audacity to speak because in a certain sense it's almost heretical. It sounds a little bit like kfira. So he says, why? I'll tell you why. Malamed, it teaches us, Shinisatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. God, as it were, wrapped himself up. Lisatev means not just to wear a tzitzis, like I'm wearing tzitzis under my shirt. No, Lisatev means ituf, means all the way around. Over your head, Atifa. Akadekach, that in many opinions, Atifa has to be, at least in the, if a person, God forbid, was a Mitzora, it would have to be all the way covering, like, till their mustache. So I want to point out, it doesn't mean covering your eyes, it means going around. So when you see people, you ever see shachris in shul, people are like whipping it around? That's because to do atifa, you're supposed to take the talis, or provide your rights to the tshuva, you're supposed to take the talis and cover it all the way until your mustache. You have to be wrapped up. Nis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kishliach tzibur, Hashem Yisbarach wrapped himself up like a chazan. Veheralo l'moshe, and he demonstrated to Moshe, seder tefillah, the order of prayer. Omar lo, he said to him, Kol zman she Yisrael chotin, all times that the Jewish people step off the path, Yasu lefonai keseder hazeh, they should do before me according to this order, Va'ani mochel lahem, and I'll forgive them. And what is it? Hashem Hashem. This is the 13 attributes. Anihu shkodem sheyechta ha'adam, va'anihu la'achar sheyechta ha'adam. So parenthetically, what we're not going to do this morning, although it would be interesting in and of itself, if you look in the Mefarshim on the Chumash, the classic Mefarshim, let's say in the Torah Chaim edition of the Chumash, there's a big debate actually how you count 13. We refute to these as the 13 attributes of mercy, but if you look at the Pesukim themselves, it's not so clear. They don't tell you 13. So the Gemara at least seems to say that Hashem Hashem Anihu Kodem Sheyechta HaAdam, I am God, Hashem, God, before, and I am God afterwards. So there's actually a debate. Is the Hashem before, is that one of the 13? Or no, that's just saying there is a God, that's like the baseline. And then Hashem, the next one, is the attribute of mercy. So that's the Machlokas in the Rishonim. It sounds a little bit, some of you are thinking, wow, it sounds a little bit about the nature of the Machlokas of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Is I am Hashem your God, is that the assumption? Or is that a mitzvah? How do you view that phrase? Okay, not for today. Ani Hashem, Anihu kodem sheyechta ha'adam, v'anihu la'achar sheyechta ha'adam. V'yasa tshuva. Afterwards, when the person decides to come back, Hashem is still there. Keil rachum v'chanon, Am Rav Yehuda, bris krusa l'yud gimel midos. There is a covenant which is cut with the 13 attributes. What is that? She'enon chozros rekam. They never go back empty-handed. So that's pretty powerful. There's a promise, a divine promise, that Hashem will never turn away from the prayer, from the statement, from the actions of the Yud Gimel Midos. It's amazing. So we wonder to ourselves, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? How could that be? Is that like some kind of magic formula? So one approach, which we're not going to work on today, but is worthy of further study, and I brought one safer just in case you're looking for homework. In fact, you're always looking for good learning. So if you look, there's a commentary on the Agadata in the Enyaq of, I think it's called the Eitz Yosef, on the side, one of the commentaries in the Eitz Yosef, he says, look at the Gemara, it's a great, amazing teretz. The Gemara says, Hashem wrapped himself up as a chazan, and he said, Kol zman she Yisrael choten lefanai yasu, they should do keseder hazeh. doesn't say you should say the Yogimel Midos, the 13 attributes. Anybody can say words. I mean, saying words takes nothing. So there is a sefer. It's by a great classic Kabbalist, Rav Moshe Cordoviero. Rav Moshe Cordoviero is one of the Halakha Kabbalah masters of the period of the Arizal of Tzfat. And he has a book. It was translated to English, so it's not super Kabbalistic. It's just called the Tomer Devorah, the Palm Tree of Devorah. So Moshe Cordoviero looks at each one of the 13 attributes, al derech musar, so to speak, in the way that a person should act. So he describes how each one, there's a Kabbalistic background, but each one is it's like a straightforward thing. That first midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sovel elbon. God gives us energy, spiritual energy, and we use it to do things that are against him, and yet he still continues to give us. So, says Rav Moshe Cordoviero, that's a midah. That's one aspect of godliness. And we can imitate that. That's what we can do. So, the Eitz Yosef, he says in the commentary, he says, you know when you're guaranteed to get mechila? If you can personify all of the 13 attributes in your actions, yasu lefanai, then you're 100% guaranteed to be forgiven. Because look at how you act. Look at the kind of person that you become. It's an amazing concept. The Yogimel Midos are not something you say, they are a mantra by which you live. So it's a great drasha for a Rav. You know, I'm a retired Rav, so I can use all the material now. This is a great drasha. It's not just about what you say, it's what you do. So that's one approach, and that's why the whole study of the Tomer Devorah takes the Yogimel Midos, parallels them after what we say at Tashlich, the Psukim of Mikel Kamocha, and he makes it very practical. He says, what kind of a person are you? How do you live your life? So it was translated to English. It's a great work. And then there's a Rebbetzin in Montreal. Her name is Feldbrand. So she also put out a sefer, very similar kind of thing, very practical way of living the Yogimel Midos. It's awesome. It's terrific. So that's one approach. But I want to think about a different approach based on a comment of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, which is relayed in a couple of places, including by a student of his who now teaches in Toras Moshe. The sefer is called Harare Kedem from, I forget his name. Rav Shurkin, right, Rav Michal Shurkin. So he points, Rav Soloveitchik points you to a Tana Debei Eliyahu, which is on source number 2. If you look at the Tana Debei Eliyahu, he frames the same conversation in a different context, which really transforms how we understand this process. Dover Acher says the Tana Debei Eliyahu, Yan Cho Hashem B'yom Tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer us on the day of distress. Ki haya yodea David she'asa, I'm sorry, the side got cut off a little bit. Haya yodea David, David HaMelech nu, she'asid beis hamikdash li'os chorev, v'akarbonos yubetelem b'avodasem shal Yisrael. David HaMelech nu, that one day the beis hamikdash was going to be destroyed. It wasn't a secret. Because of our actions, so we lost the beis hamikdash. V'hoya David mitzar al Yisrael. David HaMelech was worried about us. Bameh yiyeh kapara la'avonoseihem. How would they achieve kapara? Now this is a topic for a different discussion, but keep in mind there's a difference between tshuva and kapara. Those are not the same concepts. They are related, but they're not exactly the same. How would they get kapara? V'omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'David. Hashem said to David, I'm in the third line of source 2. Hashem said to David, "B'shah shehatzaros boz al Yisrael ba'avonoseihem." When the difficult things come unto the Jewish people because of their sins, "Yamdu lefonai yachad ba'aguda achas v'yisvadu avonoseihem." They should come together as one and confess, verbalize what they did wrong. "V'yomru lefonai seder slicha v'ani en osam." And they will say before me the Seder of Slichos, and I will answer them. And then he describes where the origins of this. It's from the same verse of Vayavra Hashem Al Panav. The amazing insight of this Tana Debei Eliyahu for Rav Soloveitchik is that the context in which it's being said is the Yan Cha Hashem Biyom Tzara. It's when we find ourselves in a place of distress. So then we respond with the Yud Gimel Midos. Yan Hashem Biyom Tzara. Yan Ha means he will answer us because we're calling out to him. Meaning that the Slichos are a form of tefillah. A form of tefillah, which we won't translate as prayer, because prayer has the wrong connotation. Prayer comes from the Lashon like praying mantis, right? Why they call praying mantis a praying mantis? Because it's begging. It's much more than praying mantis. It's more than begging. It's connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam through our words, through our consciousness, through our thinking. So now, according to the Tanut Ve'Elio, slichos are not a way of life, which is true for the Eitz Yosef. They're not just something that you say. They are a tefillah. It's a form of tefillah. And the word esara here, perhaps, is extremely apropos. Because we know there is an old question. How often are we supposed to daven? How much davening do we need to do? The principals of the schools get this question all the time. How much davening, Rabbi? How much davening? So, the Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam writes that you have to daven every day, once a day, from the Torah. Biblically, you got to daven once a day, every day, and that's it. And even that, the Rambam says, according to the Chumash, you know, you say, God, good morning, thank you for making me, you're awesome, I'll see you later. Basically, a little shvach, a little bakasha, that's good. For some students, they're mekayim the din d'oraisa. But the Rambam says that's not enough. The Rambam says you have to daven three times a day, and you have to organize the Shachris Mincha Maariv. That's the Tefillah D'Rabbanan. And the Ramban does not agree. Nachmanides, Ramban and the Rambam overlap just a little bit at the beginning of the 13th century. Nachmanides does not agree. He says there's no actual obligation to daven once a day, every day. That's not true. When is there an obligation? The obligation is to daven Be'is Tzara. When a person feels in distress. When a person is in distress, that's the Yancha Hashem V'yom Tzara. So, parenthetically, without making too much out of this discussion, Rav Soloveitchik in a different place, Rabbi Joseph V. Soloveitchik, points out that this might not be a machlokas anymore. The Rambam might say, of course, I agree with you, you have to daven when you're in distress. But when are you in distress? There's a persist. Now, I guess the briskers, they're very nervous. They're always in a sense of distress. So I guess for the Soloveitchiks, they're always like they're very nervous people. But he's saying existentially, there's always an esara. You know, we drive on the street. The Ribbono Shel Olam is watching us. Some of us, we get in a tin can that goes 600 miles an hour, 30,000 feet in the sky. If that's not an esara, I don't know what is. It's an unbelievable thing. So the point is, whether you follow the Rambam or whether you follow the Ramban, the Ikar Tefillah comes from a place of need, of dependency, that we feel like, oh, I'm in distress. So we're going to call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So now I understand very well that when a person really understands that and they're in a place of spiritual distance from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is an Eis Tzara. That's a difficult period. What could be, actually, if you think about it, what could be a worse Eis Tzara than that? Than being far from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we realize that we're far away, we turn to him with the slichas and we say, Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara, answer us. So the slichas take a form of tefillah. Some darshanim used to say on the pasuk, V'haklola im lo sishma'u. You know, so the shot in the pasuk is, the curse will come, God forbid, lo aleinu, if you don't listen. No, some darshanim used to say, Haklola, the curse is im lo tishma'u. That's a curse. If a person isn't connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that itself is a tzara. That's a difficult thing. So based on this idea that slichos are a unique form of tefillah be'es, what we could call a spiritual tzara, we can understand now the whole structure of slichos. So if you look in the Levush, Reb Mordechai Yaffa, number 3, the Eilig Levush writes a very important observation. Says the Levush, Af al gav, Shebechol Yemos Hashana Ein Omer Tiskabel Ela Achar Tefila Shmona Esrei Shekein Hu Mashmos Lashon Tzlohu Son Shepirusho Tefila. Even though you never use the paragraph in Kaddish of Tiskabel, that's what we call Kaddish Shalem, you never say a Tiskabel Kaddish except after a Shmona Esrei. You ever notice, let's say, in Rosh Chodesh in Shul? So in Rosh Chodesh and Shul, they say two Kaddish Tiskabels. They say one, Lance is nodding, Gabbayim, they know this. But on Hanukkah, you only say one Teskabel. So when they finish Hallel on Hanukkah, you don't say a full Kaddish. You only do the half Kaddish. There's no Teskabel at the end. Why not? Because there's no Musaf. What does the Musaf have to do with it? The answer is you have a Kaddish Teskabel, a Kaddish Shalim, the full Kaddish, which says Teskabel Tzlahoson, accept our prayers, Uba Uson, and our asking, the Chol Beis Yisrael. You say that after Shemona Esrei. So on Hanukkah, since there's only one Shemona Esrei, there's no Musaf, you have one Teskabel, that's it. But on Rosh Chodesh, there are two. You have Shachris, so you say Teskabel after Hallel, because the Hallel goes with the Shachris. Then you have another Kaddish Teskabel that goes after Musaf. That's why, depending on when you're in Shul, if it's Hanukkah, you say one Teskabel. If it's Rosh Chodesh, you say two, because it goes on the davening. So says the Levush, I don't get it. We're going to come Motzei Shabbos, and we're going to say Slichos, and at the end of Slichos, we're going to say Kaddish with a Teskabel. What Teskabel? What davening? I didn't see any Shemona Esrei here. And now he says, if you look on the third line, V'stam tfila rotzalomar tfilas Shemona Esrei. And the simple tfila, when we say the de facto, the default tfila, that's a tfila of Shemona Esrei. That's why, parenthetically, many people point out that in on Tisha B'Av, hopefully by next year we'll be retired from this, but for the last couple of years, many of us have been akins for Tisha B'Av, there's no Teskabel, because the tefillah is closed on Tisha B'Av. The kina says sasam tefillasi based on the pasuk in Eicha. So there's no Teskabel. There's no talking to God. We do it anyway, but at some point we don't say Kaddish Teskabel. So why are you saying Teskabel after the slichos? there's no Shemona Esrei. So he says shiny seira slichos. Slichos is different. Sheniskenu kulam al seder hatfila shel kol hayom. The slichos is like a miniature davening of every day in our regular day. What does he mean by that? He says, I'll tell you. Because, he says, ki apsukim shekodem aslichos, the psukim before slichos, heim keneged psukit zimra. That's like the preparation verses of every morning when you say the praises of the Ashrei and the Hallelukas. So parallel to the Ashrei and the Hallelukas are the psukim at the beginning when we say L'cho Hashem Atzdaka and the whole series of Hanashama Lach Vav Gufalov, all that's the equivalent of psukim to Zimra. And then he goes further. V'aslichos im yud gimel midos she'omrim ben kol achas v'achas him amokam tefilas yud ches. And the slichos themselves, those passages that are very often intricate Ashkenazic, Hasidic Ashkenaz poems that we don't always appreciate, with the 13 attributes, the Yigal Midos, that's like Shemona Esrei. V'acharkach, and afterwards, second to last line, Noflin al Plan. Then we do Nefilas Apayim. Anytime we have a Shemona Esrei, Shachris, not for Maariv, but Shachris, and by Ashkenazim for Mincha, you also do Nefilas Apayim. That's the extension of the Shemona Esrei. First we speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam standing up, talking to him person to person, kiviyochol, and then we say, look, we talk to you, that's ridiculous, we fall on our face. So you do the same thing with slichos. First you have a conversation with the Yugam Amidos, and then you fall on your face. Kamosha acha called filo umesayimim, and we finish v'anachnu le'neda, just like we finish with tachnun, and Shemona Esrei, after Shemona Esrei in the morning, l'kach om achareim kaddish shalem im tiskabel. That's why at the end we say kaddish shalem with tiskabel, Kamo achar gemar kol tefillah sashana, just like at the end of every tefillah. So now we understand the whole structure of the slichos. They're the same as davening. Now, why are we davening at this time of year? Because it's an esara, and because it's an esara, we have to respond with tefillah. We're feeling distant. Well, guess what? Tefillah, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is actually a component of tshuva. The tshuva process, the process of coming back to find ourselves, has different components. So Rabbi Yonah, the Shari Tshuva, the Rabbi Yonah lived in around the time of right around the year 1200 in Spain. He was first cousins of Ramban, who we mentioned before. So the Rabbi Yonah wrote a work, a very important ethical treatise called Shari Tshuva, with different gates, things you need to do to get to tshuva. That's like the handbook for tshuva. It's a classic musa work, very important musa work. And the Rabbi Yonah writes there are different gates. the reason he chose the word gate is because those are also entry points, portals of entries to the process of tshuva. So as part of the process of tshuva, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you have it here on number four, Ha'ikar ha-chamisha asar, the 15th premise, the 15th basic yesod of tshuva is, this is Os Mem Aleph, maybe it's not the best print ever, but you see it in the original, this is not his handwriting. Hatfila, part of the process of tshuva is defined as the process of tefila. Yispalel el Hashem v'yevakesh rachamim. A person should plead and reach out and speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he should beseech him with mercy, lechaper al kol avonosav, to atone for all of his sins. Shene'emar, kechu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. What are the dvarim? What are the things? Take with yourselves. Kechu imachem dvarim. What are the words? They are the words of tefila, of speech, of connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam through this process. Imru elov kol tisa oven v'kach tov u'neshalma parm sfasenu. Kechu imachem dvarim ze inyan havidui. Imru elov kol tisa oven v'kach tov ze inyan hatfila. And that's the idea that we say, the Gemara Chazal refer, when we say u'neshalma parm sfasenu, means we had bulls. On Yom Kippur, we used to offer karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash as our kapara. We don't have that anymore. So the nishalma, the tashlumim, the exchange is, in its place we have sfasenu, our words. What are our words? Tefillah. Talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why we go back to the story of David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, I'm worried. I'm worried because it's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be a mechanism for kapara. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't worry. You'll have the slichos, because that's a mechanism of tefillah. The mechanism of tefillah helps us with our kapara. See, we can go through the process of tshuva, but without kapara, we haven't kind of clinched it. We haven't really sealed it. In the old days, Dr. Schneer Lyman, he points out that, I don't know anybody today who does this, there were some Chassidi Ashkenaz who used to perform what's called tshuvas hamishkal. They used to afflict themselves physically. You can imagine if every night you went to sleep, instead of sleeping on a bed, you would sleep on, I don't know, a hairy mattress. Or you would wear, you know, a shirt that had some broken glass in it for good measure. So in those days, some people would do that, the Chassidi Ashkenaz, or they would dive into the snow. People do that today, okay. But not necessarily the process of tshuva. Why would they do that? Because there's one thing of going through the introspection, then there's the act of kapara that, so to speak, removes the stain, the effect of the Avera. But the tradition has become, you don't need to, I mean, if you want to go wear a shirt that has glass in it, speak to the rabbi. I'm not going to tell you whether you should or you shouldn't. But today, Unishalma Parm Sfasenu, the davening, a person who sincerely says the Yugim Omidos Arachman because they feel that they are in an Esar, that they feel the Ribbono Shel Olam is so far away and that's the way they want to be, that takes the place of the Kapara. That's not just Tshuva, that's also Kapara. So now I can go back and understand the imagery of the first Gemara. The Gemara described that in whatever, however we understand this, that Hashem was disatef kishliach tzibur. He wrapped himself up like a chazan. So why would he be disatef kishliach tzibur? Well, if what he's trying to model for us, he's trying to demonstrate for us the way to reconnect with him, to achieve kapara as part of our tshuva process, is through a tefillah of slichos. So then, he's going to show us the model of tefillah. So he's going to wear a talis. And that's why, on the slichos, even though most people recite slichos at night, and there is a practice, we generally speaking, we don't usually wear a talis at night. Let's say even shuls, most shuls where they have the chazan wear a talis, they usually don't have the chazan wear a talis at night. Why not? Because a talis is a mitzvah of tzitzis, which is a chovas hayom, and even though there's a big debate, it's not to say that you can't wear tzitzis at night. Generally speaking, we don't. There's a big debate if you wear pajamas during the day or if you wear a talis at night, and this is why for those people who daven with a talis on the night of Kol Nidre, usually in the shul they say, make sure to get here before sundown so you can make a bracha on your talis. Because you don't make a bracha on the talis at night. Because Laila's lavs mal tzitzis, so there's a machlokas whether or not you should wear a talis at night with a bracha, but neither, none of that, keeping that all aside, at night, even if they don't wear, for I think it can have the same thing, even if the chaz doesn't wear a talis for ma'ariv, he wears it for slichus. Why? Because the Gemara described that the Rabbonu Shalom was this atif. So we do the same thing, even if it's at night, even if it's at 1 o'clock in the morning. But this also brings us to understand what is the magic of this? What's the secret sauce? Because we asked at the beginning, okay, I understand that this is given to us by God, but he just gave us a freebie? You just say this and it's okay? So it comes to understanding now that it's a yesod of tefillah, but not just any tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he was nis'atef kishliach tzibur. A shliach tzibur means a chazan. If you look carefully at the Tana de Be'elio, what did the Tana de Be'elio say? You want to get this right? He said, Yamdu lefonai ba'aguda achas. Come together as one community. Then say the Yud Gimel Midos. Meaning, it's a communal tefillah. It's a tefillah satzibur. And the Rambam writes, I didn't put this on your page, I probably should have. The Rambam writes at the beginning of the 8th chapter of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam says the following. Tfilas hatzibur nishma'as tamid. The tefillah of the community is always heard. Afilu haya behem chatoim, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mois b'tfilasim shel rabim. God never rejects the tefillah of the community. That's the secret of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. It's because it's a tefillah of the tzibur. And it's like the truth is, in that sense, it's not really a rule breaker. The Rambam says, every tefillah hatzibur is always magical. It's always effective. So that's why this is just as effective as every other chovas hatzibur. It's every other tefillah of the tzibur. It's a communal prayer. Because it's everybody coming together with a shliach tzibur who's wearing a talis, and we're saying the Shemona Esrei of the Yud Gimel Midos together. So this brings us to the Shulchan Aruch, which is earlier in Or HaChaim, in Siman Tov Kuf Samachay. It's before Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. It's not in the halachas of Slichos, it's actually in the halachas of Tanyos, where also we say Slichos. The Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Ein hayachid rashai lomar shlosh esrei midos. A person, an individual, is not permitted to say the 13 attributes of mercy as an individual. Now, he doesn't end there. He says how? Derech tefillah ubakoshas rachamim. Nobody can say the 13 attributes, the Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, on their own through the mechanism of davening. Why? D'davar shebik dusha heim, the Shulchan Aruch writes. They are a davar shebik dusha. They are the equivalent of Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu. They are a tefillah. And because they're a tefillah, a davar shebik dusha, they can only be said communally. Aval bal omram, derech kriya ba'alma, omram. If you want to say them in the mechanism of learning, of speaking, then you can. And that's why the Rama adds here in the little Rashi script, V'chein ein liyachid lomar slichas ovayavar, quoting from the Maharil. An individual, a person who doesn't make it to shul, does not recite slichas as a tefillah. Because the magic of the slichas in fulfillment of the Gemara, the image that we have, that is a tefillas hatzibur only. That's the guarantee, that's the special sauce, it's a tefillas hatzibur. You can't get that on your own. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, in the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Yoredeya Chelek Gimel, in the end of a little paragraph, at the end of an unrelated Tshuva, he writes that you could say it on your own, and you could say it with the regular learning tune that you have. Because the Mishabruah sounds like you have to say it with like the trup, you know. These are psukim, these are verses. But Rav Moshe adds one more chiddush. I'm not sure that everybody agrees to this. Rav Moshe says, well, if you're not saying the slichos as davening, but as learning, you actually have to finish the verse. The verse doesn't end v'nake lo yenake. It ends pokeid avos al bonim, pokein, what is it? Avon avos al bonim, al b'nei bonim al shleishim v'al ribeim. Psik. So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that because when you say it, if a person is alone, they can't make it to shul, they're going to say it on their own, they actually have to finish the verse. Because they're not saying it in the form of a tefillah. They're saying in the form of learning. So the same thing, when you learn, you finish the verse. You don't learn and just stop in the middle of a pasuk. You have to learn and finish the verse. So that's what Moshe says. If a person can't make it to shul, they don't say slichas as a tefillah. They say it with their regular nigun of learning. You don't have to lean. If you don't know how to lean, that's okay. You could just say it as learning with your learning song. But you should make sure to finish the pasuk, he says, because it's not davening. It's only learning. So to summarize, we wondered about this halakha question. And now we've answered it. If a person's on the road or they don't make it to shul, they can only say slichos derech in the manner of learning. They should finish the verse, says Rav Moshe, because it's not what slichos are really about. The power of slichos, the power of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim, of tapping into the Ribbono Shel Olam's mercy, is the sense that a person has that they are in an eis tzara, they are yan chashem b'yom tzara, they are feeling distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that calling out for mechila is a call to reconnect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's very powerful, and this is the time, especially ben kesel la'asar, dir shashem b'yimotso. But the secret is the fact that this is part of the kihila, is that it's a tefilas hatzibra that the Rambam says, ein ha-kadosh baruch hu mois b'tefilasan shel rabim. The Ribbono Shel Olam never will turn us away empty-handed. So the hope is that each one of us can find a way and a mechanism connect with the tzibur through this period of the Yom Menorahim and raise ourselves up to this level of rachamim and mechila that the Ribbono Shel Olam promises if we connect to the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim properly. Yishav Ksiva V'Chasima Tova. Thank you.